has already been mentioned this morning, we do have a number of visitors, and we're certainly thankful for your presence, and we hope that you will be back with us whenever you have the opportunity. Remember the Dobbs and the loss of the member of Jimmy's family, and let's be praying for them and thinking about them and doing what we can for them when they return from their trip. I want us to think this morning about some lessons, and in particular a fellow in the Old Testament that we see that I believe we can look at his life and some things that he did and learn some lessons from. And this is a little fellow named Josiah. Josiah became king in Israel and took over reign in Jerusalem when he was 8 years old. And I was going to say, ask these fellows down here at the front, and I didn't get around to them before service, if any of them are 8 years old. And that would kind of give you about a rough idea of the age of this fellow when he took over as king. Many of the things we're going to talk about this morning happened in the 18th year of his reign. So he would have been about 26 by that time, but still a relatively young fellow. I want to mention before I begin, and I meant to do this before, I want to say thanks to these guys for sitting down at the front. They are really being, I think, a great example to the rest of us. Sitting down here showing an interest. I've been watching them. They've been taking some notes, and that's great. And they listen well, and I certainly appreciate that. As we think about Josiah and some of the things that we see him do and the fact that he was 26 and a young fellow, I want us to draw some lessons from that this morning and think about this great character in the Old Testament and hopefully make some comparisons to ourselves and draw some lessons from him. First thing I see as I look at Josiah, I think about it, the guy's young. He's 26 years old when he does so many of the things. Took over as being king of Israel when he was 8. Now, how active and effective he would have been at that time, I'm not sure. We don't have that recorded. But we do know that at the age of 26, he did a number of things that took tremendous amounts of courage. And the point that I draw from that is the fact that even though we are young and even though we may be a youth, we can still do something in service to God. Look, if you would, at 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter. We're going to read several verses, and the first verse, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 of this chapter and then skip over to the book of Ecclesiastes and read some text from there. 2 Kings 22, look at verses 1 and 2. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah, a Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. 8 years old when he took over. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Look with me, if you would, at the 11th chapter. Think about what these passages say to those who are young and the effect that they can have. Ecclesiastes 11, begin with me at verse 9, and we'll read down into the 12th chapter. Solomon says, Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, also when they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. And the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The very point Solomon is making in this passage is that when you are young, and when you are a youth, and when you are early in the stage as we think about life, remember God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. If you will remember him now, the good that can be done and the effect that you can have will last for a long period of time. Later on, there are going to be things that will come up that are going to keep you from maybe serving him in the way you would like to because of your age. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Look at one more passage, this time in the New Testament. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. We're going to read verse 12. And as we think about this book, Paul is writing to a young man. A young man who is determining to preach and working with different congregations and different churches. And he says to him in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity." Paul is exhorting Timothy, a young man, a young fellow preaching and teaching. He's saying, don't let anyone despise your youth. And as a matter of fact, instead of that, be an example. Show these people what a Christian ought to be. Demonstrate by the way you act and the things that you do how God would have you to be. I am afraid that too many times as we think about young people and as we think about youth, no matter what age, and I don't know exactly where to draw the line of where this one stops and the other starts. But as you think about the way we look at young people, I'm afraid so many times we get the idea that there's a period of time when it's okay for a young person not to be the kind of person God would have them be. Where it's almost like we feel like we can make excuse for the young person's sin because they're young, this is the time of their life that they ought to be enjoying, they're going to sow a few wild oats, and I'm sure that once they get through this stage of their life, they'll start to straighten up. And as we say things like that, and as we express that kind of an attitude, we are doing our young people, and especially young Christians, an incredible disservice. Because just because I may expect less of someone who is younger than I am, or you may expect less of me because I am young, that doesn't mean God expects less. And if we allow our young people to fall into some kind of a trap of feeling like because they are young, they have the right to do certain sins and commit certain things that are just contrary to the Word of God, if we allow them to start to feel that way because of our attitude, we are doing them tremendous amounts of damage. We need to be careful how we express ourselves to our young people. Show them that we expect a lot. That we expect them to be servants of God. That we expect them to be doing the things that they ought to do as a Christian. That they are to be working just like those who are older are to be working. We're all to be working together because we're all Christians and we're all serving God in the same way. To those who are younger, don't fall into the trap of feeling like you can do things because you're young that are not wrong. If you know that you're supposed to be doing something or not doing something and you go ahead and do it anyway and you know that that's something that's wrong, that is a sin. And it could be that your parents will excuse you. It could be that the congregation that you're a part of may feel like, well, that's okay because that's... But you're going to come into judgment. All the things that we do, as it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, are going to be brought into judgment. And it doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're old. If you're doing something that's in violation of the Word of God, it's a sin, and you're going to have to give answer for it in the day of judgment. I have been... They pick on me at work. They call it the dogmatism of youth around there. Almost a feeling that you come up with some idea and there's almost like there's no way anything is going to stop us from fulfilling this thing that we have planned to do. And isn't that great though? Isn't that the kind of attitude we need to see? And those who are younger can help to build that in us and can help us to maybe be a little bit more excited than we were at one point. Those who are young can do so much in the kingdom of God. And we need to realize that God will call us into judgment for that. Go back to 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter. Not only do we see from the example of Josiah that a young fellow can accomplish a lot, but we see in Josiah someone who had a tremendous respect for the Word of God. And I think we can learn a lesson from that. Look at the 22nd chapter. We're going to read verses 10 through 13, and then we'll skip down and begin reading in verse 18. 2 Kings 22, begin with me at verse 10. It says, "Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Akbar the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. Great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Look, if you would, at verse 18. It says, "But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard that what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see the calamity which I shall bring on this place." So they brought word to the king. Then the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people, both great and small, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took their stand for the covenant. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, they decided to do some rebuilding and remodeling, so to speak, of the temple. And in doing that, they came across the book of the law, one that had been lost and nobody knew that it was there. And they brought this book, as we read, to Josiah, and he had it read before him. And as he went through that, and he realized that Israel had forsaken so many of the things that were being read to him and that he was hearing, he tore his clothes and he wept, and he realized the fact that in the Word of God they had done wrong and that they had disobeyed. And as he came to that realization, he determined in his own heart that no matter what, he was going to do something about that. And not only did he determine and show this respect, but he called together all of Israel and all of Judah, both great and small, and brought them all together in one place and had the book read before them. And he stood there and he made a covenant with God, saying that he was going to do the things that God would have him to do. And all the people followed suit. Here is a fellow, 26 years old, leading a nation that had fallen into idolatry and had fallen into ways that were just totally opposite from what God would have them to do. But he had the courage and he had enough respect for the Word of God to do something about it. And as we think about our attitude towards God's Word, what kind of attitude do we have? Do we realize the power and the magnitude and the might of what we have? I want us to read. Look with me a few verses. Turn over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I believe reading just a few of these verses will help us to see what we have in the Word of God. Look at Ephesians 6, and we're going to read verse 17. As we think about the armor that we are to have as Christians, it says, Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is our sword. Look over to the book of Hebrews. Go to the 4th chapter. Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Look at one more. 2 Corinthians 10. Begin with me at verse 3. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." As you think about the Bible that you have in your hand, and that no doubt we have numerous copies of at home and can read and can study and can understand, we have the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God, does it have the same effect on us that it had on Josiah?
when we read in there and we see that we're doing things that just aren't right and that we fall so short so often, does it make us fall down and weep and beg God for forgiveness when we see us doing things that are contrary to His Word? Do we realize what a powerful tool and what a powerful weapon we have in the conversion of souls as we think about the Scripture? It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. We have within our hands something that has more power than we could possibly imagine any of the weapons of this world being able to have. Do we use it? Having this kind of a weapon and this kind of a tool should make us understand that we need to study. It should bring us to an understanding that we need to think about what we have and we need to diligently search out and look to see what God would have us to do and learn it so that when we are talking with our friends and with our neighbors, we can tell them about it too and answer their arguments and answer their questions in a way that will be pleasing to God and will be a proper use of the Word that He has given us. Look with me at a few more verses. Turn over to the book of Hosea. Hosea, the 4th chapter. We're going to read a few verses here. Hosea 4, reading verses 4 through 6, it says, "Now let no man contend or reprove another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day, the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother." Listen to verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Look with me at one more. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2 and verse 15, a passage that no doubt is familiar to just about everyone here. Paul, again to the young man Timothy, says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's from the New King James. Others say study. We have been given a tremendous responsibility by God to know the word that He has given us. He's entrusted us with so much. And I think it is appropriate to look at the examples we see in the Old Testament of over and over and over again, the children of Israel forgetting God. They don't teach the things of God to their children. They have no knowledge of His Word. And as a result of their lack of knowledge, as it said in the book of Hosea, they are going to be destroyed. Why is it any different today? We have been given something that is of more value than anything in the world, and yet sometimes we take it for granted. We don't think about it. We don't concentrate on it. We don't study it. We don't know it. As Christians, we need to set aside time where we spend time studying, and it needs to be consistent. It needs to be organized, not just some kind of a random pickup, and I'm going to read this today and that tomorrow. Something that's going to help us to come to a deeper knowledge of the Word that God has given to us. And as I think about Josiah, 26 years old, and the fact that he was willing to demonstrate to a whole nation of people the proper respect for the Word of God and a commitment to it, I think we can certainly learn a lesson from that. Go back to 2 Kings. This time we're going to go to the 23rd chapter. As we continue on in the story. In Josiah, we see the power of someone who is young. We see a fellow who had a tremendous respect for the Word of God. And not only did Josiah have a respect for that Word, but he went out, and when he saw what he needed to do, he did something about it. I want you to listen or read along with me as we think about several verses in this chapter. Remember, they've just read through the law, and Josiah has suddenly realized all the things that they were doing that were wrong, and what do you think he's going to do about it? Look at verses, begin with me in 2 Kings 23, beginning at verse 4. It says, "And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah,
and for all the host of heaven, and he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the wooden images from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden images. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Gibeah to Beersheba. Also he broke down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gates of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gates. Look at verse 14 and 15. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel in the high place where Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made both that altar and the high place, he broke down and he burned the high place and crushed it to powder. And he burned the wooden image. Look at verse 20. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. Verse 25. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. Buddy, I'm telling you, when Josiah found out there were things going on that weren't right, he did something about it. He reacted to the word of God. He could very easily have made some kind of dedication himself and decided that as he was himself personally, he was going to do something about it, but he took a whole nation. 26 years old, took a whole nation and cleaned out the things that were wrong, destroyed the idolatrous worship that had been there, executed the priests who had been involved in those things, tore down the altars and the... When he heard the word of God, he did something about it. Because the word of God calls for action. What are we doing about it? As I look out over this audience, I think that this is a group of people who know what God would have us to do. We can quote Scripture and we can go to different passages and look at them and to know exactly what God would have us to do, but do we really do it? Do we really determine that I am going to respond to the Word of God? And I'm afraid that there are those here who feel like that maybe no action is okay. That I can get away. I just won't react to it at all. I hate to tell you, and I've got it in my notes, and this is kind of a totally weird sort of phrase, but no action is action. Because when you don't react to the Word of God and when you don't respond to the things that He would have you to do, you're saying yes to the devil. And you're saying, I am not going to be a follower of God, I am going to be a follower of Satan. And I may be morally good, and I may feel like I know a lot about the Scriptures, but if I don't do anything about it, where am I? Faith produces works. As we look at Josiah and we see the fact that he read, he could have read that and he could have understood it perfectly and he could have known everything that he was to do, but if he hadn't gone out and done it, there is no way that the things that are said in the 25th verse of the 23rd chapter would have been said about it. Josiah did something about what he knew to do. Same way with us. Let's take it right from the start. I may know very well that I need to repent and confess my sins and be baptized in order to have them forgiven. But if I don't do it, am I going to be saved? Am I going to be forgiven? Certainly not. And as I look at the laws that God has laid down for those of us who are Christians, and we see that we are to be out teaching people and talking to people, I may know that perfectly well, but if I don't do it, do you think I'm going to be pleasing to God?
I may understand full well that I need to be an active member of this group and that I need to be here and that I need to be involved in the things that are going on and attending the services and preparing. If I don't do it, am I going to be pleasing to God? I may know full well that I need to pray on a daily basis and I need to think about the things I pray about and I need to focus on prayer and talk to God and ask Him to help me. If I don't do it, am I going to be accepted? I may know full well I need to study. And that I need to study on a regular basis and strive diligently to come to a greater and increased knowledge of the Word of God. But if I don't do it, the Word that God has given us, the Scripture that we have recorded for us, calls on us to do something. And oh, so many times we come up with some excuse, and I'm guilty of this just as much as anybody, but we come up with some kind of an excuse that we feel like we justify ourselves in not doing it. That's Satan working on us. That's Satan convincing me that somehow I can be justified by not doing the things that God would have me to do. What a wonderful example we have in the example of Josiah. Here was a fellow who in the youth of his life came to a knowledge of the Word of God. And as a result of that knowledge and out of a respect for what God would have him to do, he did something about it. We have a lot of people here this morning who are young. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't put off serving God until the time when you're old and when it gets to a point where you really can't serve Him in the way you could have years ago if you had really determined to do it then. Don't allow yourself to develop or fall into the trap of being disrespectful to the Word of God. And it could mean you're disrespectful just because you don't do anything about it. That's basically saying to God, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Thanks, but no thanks for the provisions that you have made for me. I don't think there's a person here this morning who wants to be classified in that category, but we do have people here who aren't doing anything. People who I believe have a true knowledge of the Word of God in hands that have not, for one reason or another, determined that they were going to take the action. We want you to take that action this morning. We want you to determine that this morning, instead of just having the knowledge and having the understanding that you are going to take the actions that are called for in that church. It may mean that I need to go home, and if you need to go home, we need to get down on our knees and just confess to God that we haven't done what we ought to do and that we need to do better. So it could be you need to respond and become Christian. God's Word calls for action. You can either do something and respond in obedience, or you can let it go by. And that's an action too, saying, no, I'm not going to do what God would have me to do. When we stand before Him in judgment, what are we going to say? Those of us who are young, are we going to be able to give an answer for the things that we've done? Because no matter what age you are, we're going to be called into judgment. Someday we're all going to stand at the bar on high. Someday our record will see. Someday we're going to answer the question of why. And the question comes to us is what will our answer be? Take action this morning. Respond. Do something about the knowledge that we have. And come forward right now while we stand at the bar.